The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older. Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the host's favorite trail technique is wandering off the trail and chasing squirrels. That's Lenny, Mina Kimes. I am joined on this delightful Wednesday by a friend of the show, one of the hosts of the Athletic Football Podcast, Nate Tice.
Hi, and I'm centered now. And I like the trail technique joke. We got a little cover two joke in there, two man.
I was watching cornerbacks this morning, so it was on my mind. I was watching draft corners.
Just like trail.
Fun class.
Trail.
By the way.
Very good class. I know. Yeah. I think there's like about six guys in the consensus up there. It's not, you don't usually get that. You usually get like two guys and then you're grasping at straws after that. So definitely a much better class than usual. Thanks for having me, by the way.
Thanks for coming on. We're not talking draft today. Yeah. Well, we sort of are tangentially. So I keep saying this. After the show is when I'm going to dig into the draft. Actually, super excited. Next week, talking quarterbacks with a first-time guest, JT O'Sullivan, who I mentioned to you, Nate, that I wanted to have him because I love his videos. So that's something you guys should really look forward to. I'm really looking forward to it, talking quarterbacks with him. But we are not covering prospects today. We are talking about teams. This is one of my favorite things to do every year, usually always exactly this time, a couple weeks after free agency, when free agency is kind of wound to a close, and then really ahead of April and when the draft pre-draft process gets into really high gear. It's really just going through every team, looking at the rosters, which is, again, so useful after free agency. You're like, oh, you're this guy. Okay, all right. Yeah, I missed that signing. And basically evaluating what the needs are for each of these teams, which, you know, again, ahead of the draft, not that teams exclusively draft for need, but it's definitely useful to think about as you prepare for the draft and think about like which guys your teams might be targeting in early rounds in particular. So this was a lot of fun. And I will start by saying like I was pretty, there were teams that I came out lower on. There are teams that I came out higher on. Spoiler, Washington, I texted you and I was like, dang, Washington's got a pretty good roster. So it's a fun exercise.
Surprising. It is a fun exercise. It's good. It's a good exercise. You know, I do a show with Robert Mays that we do a lot of lessons. And every time we do some of those shows, it's actually really like it makes you do a little bit of homework. And there's even, I mean that in a good way, I mean, a fun study group session. After free agency too, it's so nice to kind of resettle and look at and go, oh yeah, they signed that guy. Oh yeah, they took a 1 year flyer on that guy, and that kind of will change your opinion on where you think there might be a hole. Like even there, some of these teams, you know, doing a mock draft over the weekend kind of helped where I kind of was looking and looking at some of the needs. So I kind of double dipped on my my duties, both work and for fun, you know, working with you. But it really is nice to do this because especially going into the draft, you start realizing, oh, this might be how it unfolds, or this might be who they look at post June, you know, looking at vets or anything of that sort, or this might be a hindrance that we got to keep an eye on during camp and once the season starts and you're like, well, there's that linebacker they've needed since February. And, you know, they have a hole at guard that they didn't fill up and helps us do our job, but we do it for fun for everyone else to listen to as well.
And I should say, there are still free agents out there. There are potential trade targets like DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, when we go through these teams and we say, oh, this team needs a wide receiver, they could still be in the
OBJ,
Hopkins market too. So we're taking a much needed reprieve from Lamar and Rodgers because there's nothing really to report other than Lamar's trade, him coming out on Twitter and saying he wanted to be traded. I actually was like, we talked about that on our shows, and I was like, I mean, the two biggest questions I have that really influence all of this still remain unanswered, which is how much money does he actually want? It's all speculation. Right. And I think dramatically affects which teams might hypothetically even be trading for him. You know, the Colts actually seem open to it, which I guess is a recent development. We talk about that when we talk about the Colts. And then whether he's willing to sit out, because that tells me, you know, how much leverage the Ravens actually have. But I don't want to talk about that. I love saying the things I don't want to talk about. There is one NFL story I do want to talk to you about, though. I was going to save it for the team, but let's get it out of the way now. I actually thought this was one of the bigger pieces of NFL news of the week, which was both John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan coming out and talking about their quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Presenting different timelines for the return of Brock Purdy, which is concerning. I think Lynch said he thought he would be ready for week one, if I remember correctly. Kyle said weeks 1 through 4. We had heard in the past he might be ready for camp. All very murky, but what we do know is, and this was Lynch who came out and said that, like, you know, Brock's earned the right to start. He said that. He didn't say we're going to have a quarterback comp. He didn't keep it vague. And so, Nate, my interpretation of the state of things in San Francisco is that Brock Purdy is the starter. And in the meantime, Trey Lance will be competing with Sam Darnold to potentially start week one if Purdy's not ready. Is that how you read all of this?
Yeah. And how about Kyle Shanahan's almost brutally honest in his press conferences over the last few years. And I also noticed that with injury timelines, like I believe more what Kyle says, because he usually is pretty honest and going like, oh, that's a 2 month or, oh, you know, high ankle sprain. We won't see him for 8 weeks.
The world might end.
Yeah, the world. Exactly. The world might end. I mean, Purdy did play very well in his limited time, so I understand their sentiment, and also their, you know, it's the joystick or the video game controller at the quarterback position, and Purdy does that plus a little bit of the chaos. I thought they also showed a little love to Sam Darnold. It's kind of funny. They showed a lot of love to everybody but the guy they traded up for and selected at number 3. It was kind of like they're negging him. You know, kind of they're trying to make him feel like hey, we're going to really hype up everybody else
around. Described him as a member of the team, like a valued member of the team, which is not
so crazy
how you typically describe someone in that position.
A year ago, they were having Jimmy G, who was with the team, but not with the team. They had him training on his own. And they were like, oh, yeah, Trey's our guy. Trey's our guy. Trey gets hurt. And it's like, yeah, never mind. No longer. We're no longer talking about him. But I agree with you. It really just seems like just what they're putting out publicly is that Purdy seems like one in their mind. I think it's going to be a UCL injury for a quarterback is pretty scary. I mean, that can change throwing motion about what you're comfortable with. The rehab can be iffy. I shouldn't say iffy, but it can be, go up and down, and your confidence, you have to get that back. It's different than an ankle. It's different than a knee when you're, you know, not having to throw the ball. You don't throw the ball with your foot. So I think that's where there's a lot of question marks there. I think the 49ers just love this. Just the every year, what's going with question marks at the quarterback position, so we're talking about them. So we don't focus on how good their defense is or how much fun their run game and their other weapons are, apparently.
I really struggle to talk about Trey Lance to do takes or whatever because we've barely seen the dude play football. He barely played last year. One game was like in horrible conditions. You remember before he got hurt.
The monsoon.
Yeah, and I like I don't know. And it seems like the vast majority of takes on him are almost people are intuiting how good he is. They're like, oh, well, if he was good, he would have, you know, the Niners would be talking about him differently and he must be awful in practice. Maybe, but I personally don't feel comfortable arriving at conclusions about a quarterback based on reading the tea leaves or trying to guess, or I guess surmise, it's not really guess, how coaches feel. I would rather see the dude play and then come to my own conclusions. And I don't feel like we have actually had the opportunity to really do that with Lance.
I 100% agree. He didn't even play a lot of college games.
Yeah.
So it's like this guy just, period, has not played a lot of football. And I think Trey Lance is such a different type of quarterback than Shanahan's ever had, even with RG3. And I include RG3 in there because RG3 was a speed guy that they would run on the zone read stuff and get to the edge. And Trey Lance is like a fullback in a quarterback's, you know, playing quarterback that can also throw it, you know, 65 yards, 70 yards and push the ball. And that was even their whole last offseason was their, that was kind of the discussion point was Kyle Shanahan was tired of working his butt off to really get all these yards, 8 yards, and being very efficient. And he wanted to be more explosive. And that's where the Trey Lance kind of love came from. But, oh, we can design, we have positionless football. Now the quarterback can run it. See the running back. Well, now they have CMC, can split out. We have the receiver in the backfield, Deebo Samuel. Everybody can do everything, including the quarterback. And all of a sudden, I think in a game and a half in a monsoon, and then he gets a hurt, and then he's like, I'm just going to go back to what I'm comfortable with. Like, that was fun while it lasted for 2 weeks. And I think that's where he's reverted back. I'm interested in the Sam Darnold love. I still have like 2 shares of Darnold. Like, I still have him somewhere, under the mattress or somewhere, but I still have him. So if he's ever going to succeed, this would be the situation that he would succeed.
Yeah. Good landing spot for him. He actually,
great
quarterback situation in the NFL, and he's actually getting a chance. Like, amazing. Anyways, we'll see how that plays out. I just wanted to quickly hit it because I do think it's interesting. Absolutely. And a little confusing. Yeah. So, okay. We're going to go team by team. I, for no good reason, decided to go in alphabetical order by team name instead of division. I don't know why. I can't explain
That's
it.
Fine.
There's no logic to it. I guess I always feel like whenever I do like the division thing, you always start with the AFC East and end with the NFC West, typically, because America, you know, our East Coast bias. Yeah. So I'm like, screw that. We're going to, but actually, when you go in alphabetical
order. So we're going to start with the third largest city in the country. That's what we're going to start with.
I'm going to kind of name the team, talk a little bit about who they added and lost, and then I'll ask you first. So, we are starting with the Chicago Bears, who had a very active offseason. The big trade, you had DJ Moore, you signed 2 linebackers, TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds. Nate Davis comes in at guard, DeMarcus Walker to rush the passer, Deontay Foreman and Travis Homer, because David Montgomery walks out the door, and Robert Tonyan are some of the bigger signings. So what do you feel are the positions that the Bears still need to add talent at?
Oh, offensive line. I did like the Nate Davis signing because I thought interior shoring up the interior matters as much as a tackle to help out Justin Fields. He got a lot of interior pressure last year. He could never step up in the pocket. I should say never, but rarely was able to get a clean pocket where he can actually operate and step up and throw into some of these throws that when he wanted to push the ball. So, but I think they did a nice job with Davis. I would love for them. They're figuring out the center position. They're talking about, oh, they might move a guy over, give him a shot. But I really do think they really need to add a center and a tackle. They had a 5th rounder last year that did a nice job. Thank you. But I think like they're slotted at that 9 spot to really get one of these tackles. I think there's several good ones in this draft. I'm highest on Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State and Darnell Wright from Tennessee. I think either of them would make sense. I would guess, and I think they've already kind of hinted at this, that Paris Johnson would be a fantastic scheme fit for them. Chris Morgan, their offensive line coach, is a Shanahan guy. They love the zone run. Paris Johnson would be much better in that type of scheme where he can cut off and use his athleticism and his length. He's still a little bit, has a ways to go, but he has tools, 36-inch arms. He's my offensive tackle one, and I think they're in a perfect spot to take him and protect the blind side for years and years and years. Other than that, I think continue to add juice to that defensive line.
Yeah.
They have to. They're going to play in a lot of 2 high coverages. They need to win with 4. And on top of that, this is the last one. I love the DJ Moore signing, but I would actually look to maybe add a tight end on day 2. You're going to hear me say this a lot. I'm just going to get out ahead.
A lot of tight ends
on day 2. You'll hear me say that with a lot of teams. But I think pairing him with Komet, the hypothetical tight end with Cole Kmet, could be really interesting and give another pass catcher with size and maybe upside as well. And I think this is a loaded tight end class, so that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, I have complete agreement. Trenches, both sides of the ball. Offensive line, it's kind of interesting because it's a little bit unclear, to your point, who's playing what. Like Tevin Jenkins, is he a guard? Is he going to be a left guard, right? You know, like Lucas Patrick, exactly. Cody Whitehair. They have guys now in the building, which is great, but I don't know exactly what they view as their best 5. I do think tackle probably is what I would prioritize at that point in the draft, especially because it is plausible they'll have the first pick of the first offensive tackle taken in the draft, the way things are shaking out. So I think that would be really nice for them to really solidify that offensive line. And then, yeah, I think like edge is, again, it kind of depends on defensive line generally, but depends on where they're picking right now. Just looking at their depth charts, like Travis Gibson, Dominique Robson, Terrell Lewis, who was a backup with the Rams. So still needs in the trenches is the priority for this team. Okay.
Absolutely.
The Bengals had a fascinating offseason. Very quiet, you know, at first. They bring back Jermaine Pratt. They lose a lot of guys on defense. Jesse Bates, Von Bell. I don't know what the state is of Eli Apple right now. I think he's still out there. They also, Hayden Hurst, Samaje Perine. They go out and they sign Nick Scott, who's a safety with the Rams, who you might remember from making plays in their Super Bowl run. And then the biggest signing, of course, was Orlando Brown Jr. to play left tackle. So that this one's a little complicated. I'll go first here because there's still a couple balls in the air with this team. So the things they, I think, really clearly need, tight end. They did sign someone. I can't remember who, but it was
Irv Smith.
Tight end.
Sign him. Yes. Yeah. No. I agree
but,
with that.
So, and then it's like, they brought in a running back. I forget. I have a running back on there, but later.
No, I, th- but these are, I'm
here's the thing.
These.
Okay. So like a lot of my needs are conditional. If they trade Jonah Williams, they need a right tackle.
Right.
If they don't bring back Apple, I think they need another corner.
right.
So, you know, and then I wrote maybe wide receiver, depending on what their vision is for Chase and Higgins, which we're not privy to, of course, or obviously I would say Higgins, not Chase. But those to me jumped out. Are there any other positions that you thought of or?
Yeah. I said DB and I said losing Von Bell and Jesse Bates. They drafted Dax Hill and he's in the wings, but still might be a position that they look at. I did have running back. I think, I don't know what the deal is with Mixon.
I forgot to mention that. It was the other ball in the air because everyone's saying he's going to get cut. It's like a big cap hit, but.
Yeah. It seems like that. I know everyone kind of in the know with the Bengals stuff, like kind of, or maybe it's just, you know, fans yelling on Twitter. It seems like they seem like he's out. And Perine's more of a hit than I think people think because of what he did for them in pass protection and as a kind of a check down artist when Burrow kind of really peppered the running backs and tight ends underneath. They don't really use tight ends too much. Like they do, like they're on the field, but their offense, because of Tyler Boyd, they're the team that's in the most 11 personnel than anybody. I think them and the Rams, of course, with Zach Taylor coming from LA. That makes sense. But they don't use that position a ton. Like even Hurst was perfect for them last year. Yeah. Kind of that fourth option, you know, it gets 70 targets, 60 something targets. That's kind of what they look at. I understand taking a flyer on Irv Smith, but Irv Smith has had a lot of opportunities to make something happen.
It's a great draft.
So tight end. Yeah, it's a great draft. Exactly. Day two tight end. But tackle, like you said, if that might happen with the right tackle, offensive line, you can never hurt with offensive line. But that's where I was at. It's kind of dependent on what they feel about a lot of things.
One thing that would be interesting is if they do move on from Mixon with the signing of Orlando Brown Jr. I talked about this a little bit last week. If their running game continues to move away from a couple of years ago when they're almost exclusively a zone running team.
Yeah.
If that affects the kind of backs they look at in the draft, that'll tell us a lot. This is what one thing I love about the draft is like, you can learn a lot about how a team sees their offense. Yeah, based on the kind of player they draft. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Okay. That's why I love that Brown. Not only getting him at a very good rate and very good contract. I like that more because of what you refer to is that they changed their offensive run game so much to gun runs and pulling and using traps and duo and all these at you runs that the Brown signing made more sense than I initially thought. Like I think the first thought everyone had was, well, how is he going to pass protect Burrow all those pass? Well, really they went to a balanced offense last year. So this one made a lot of sense. So I totally agree with you on that point.
Okay. Next we've got the Buffalo Bills who brought in Connor McGovern, interior offensive lineman, Deonte Hardy, the wide receiver, Damian Harris, running back.
Yeah.
They re-signed Milano and Jordan Poyer, lose Tremaine Edmonds. And I think those are the big ones, the big moves. Yeah. So what positions do you feel like they should go after?
Well, first, all those guys that you listed off, McGovern, Hardy, and Harris, I'm a fan of all these kind of singles, I guess. Those types of moves. They're not home runs, but they're getting on base. And after the Von Miller splash, I kind of like that kind of revamping. Like, hey, let's get back to the 2017 Bills
build up through the first season.
I know that's exactly how it's going to happen. But I think Hardy's a huge upgrade over McKenzie. I think Damien Harris, given that true downhill running back, this is my one stat of the show. Over the past two seasons combined, Harris is a top five running back in terms of success rate from under center runs. Mm. And the Bills were getting into more and more under center last year. So with McGovern was like the fourth or fifth best lineman on the Cowboys, but it's probably the second best lineman on the Bills. So it's like, even that's like an upgrade, but I would still say another interior offensive lineman is a need or right tackle. Spencer Brown's still young, but he wasn't very good last year. So I would like another offensive lineman with this team. I think another pass catcher I wouldn't hate. I think they can go a tight end with Knox if they wanted to, but they have any type of receiver, if they liked one, they can slot in there.
Yeah.
Because Diggs is an outside guy. Davis is an outside guy. I love Khalil Shakir. He can be an inside and outside guy. So any type of guy they like, and maybe a linebacker with Edmonds leaving, and maybe that's all maybes. Cause I do like the Bills roster. I've kind of talked myself roster. Back into it.
I know.
Again.
I feel
it
like
is.
There's such panic around the Bills. I don't know. Just
there really is
like losing Edmonds. I mean, he's a good player, but for the most part, the roster is pretty... Yeah, right. And most importantly, just guys were hurt on defense last year. Their roster is going to be better because guys are coming back. I did leave out one signing I forgot to... was a little bit late. Taylor Rapp, which I think is another one of those singles, you know, where it's like, he actually played, his best football last year on a horrible Rams defense. You know, more of a box safety type, but I think they needed depth that position. Yes. Exactly.
And they always play five DBs. So they're always nickel. So they need DB 100%. Bodies as opposed to like interior linebacker bodies.
So I wrote down offensive line and wide receiver, but I love the idea of just kind of pass catcher actually, instead of wide receiver. You know, people have long wanted the Bills to be a little bit more multiple in terms of their personnel groupings. And I think if the right tight end is available, that's something where I could see their offense trending in that direction a bit more. Times they've kind of flirted with it, and then they always kind of just go back to playing the hits. But
they used a lot of jumbo last year.
Yeah, so that's true. Like, they did a
ton of jumbo.
Just the best pass catcher available, I think, would be useful for them. And then, again, like offensive line, I'm with you there. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a roster that I was like, this is actually a lot. They're in pretty decent shape. The Denver Broncos.
This is probably my shortest note section.
Yeah. Right. Because I was like, oh, damn. the big question mark is the quarterback. But like otherwise, this is the most injured. They had the highest adjusted games lost according to Football Outsider in the NFL last year, which kind of flew under the radar because everything else was such a tire fire, you know, and with the coach and the quarterback situation. But, you know, the huge free agency, offensive linemen galore, blocking tight ends, fullback.
Yeah, Manhurts.
Got it, P. Ryan. We know what they want to do. They also brought in Zach Allen. I think Marquez Callaway was kind of a sneaky under the radar signing. And then, you know, they lost... Draymond Jones, they replaced him with Zach Allen, basically, however you feel about
that. Exactly, it was a one-for-one.
Okay, so this one, I had a lot of trouble, actually, with. So I wrote wide receiver with a question mark because there's so much speculation about them trading Jerry Jeudy. So this is another one of those kind of conditional ones for me. You got Tim Patrick coming off of the injury. There's also been speculation about Cortland Sutton. So I was just like, okay, depending on what... how they view their current wide receiver group, that's a position I could see them targeting. And then I also wrote edge. So right now you're looking at Baron Browning, who really, I thought, impressed me.
Flash last year. Yeah.
Randy Gregory. They've got that really fast guy from Oakland, Nick Bonito. I feel like they could use another edge rusher. And then I wrote corner, and that surprised me. But when I looked at the depth chart, you know, after they have Surtain, who's amazing, obviously, Kwan Williams in the slot, but it's like, I think DeMar Mathis is listed as the starting corner opposite Surtain. Darby's gone. So I felt like that was another position that they could go after.
Yeah, I went maybe inside linebacker and maybe corner. And at first I put receiver just for the same reasons you did. I don't know who Sean Payton likes. Yeah. Does he like Jeudy? Does he like Sutton? I know that he'll love Tim Patrick, though. Like, that is such a Sean Payton receiver, just a power slot, blocking his butt off of the middle, and also just like a sound receiver. So I know he'll love him, but I am curious what if it one of those other ones, well, other receivers does get moved, because that is, I know this one wasn't, I wanted to like have a good point here, and the only thing I had was that they're getting Tim Patrick back, and that's really about it with this team. So yeah, and so this, yeah, they're sitting in a decent spot, and you can see, like you said, that you know what Sean Payton's kind of leaning into, getting P. Ryan, getting Manhurts, yeah, the tight end, several offensive linemen. So really trying to inject that, you know, soundness in the run game with heavy play action shots. I think we're going to see a lot of that this year out of Russ.
Another team that I was like, God damn, this team is pretty good. Not a lot of holes. The Cleveland Browns. Did you feel that way as well when you went through the roster? Or did you, there's a couple that jumped out to me, but for the most part, I this is a team that was pretty active in free agency too, and maybe that's a big part of the reason why, but I was pretty impressed with this depth chart when I went through it.
Yeah, there's no glaring need, but there's ways, you know, singles and doubles. You know, that's kind of what we're saying with the Bills too. Did you know they have 14 receivers under contract? I know I just tweeted that, really? But that 14 wide receivers under contract right now.
More than half.
Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore, Anthony Schwartz. Oh, and Peoples Jones. There we go. That's four. Yeah. I can't. That's all I can get you. But I think really for them is I you can see what you're saying with the
draft. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's another good one. Nice. That you're saying with the draft, you can see kind of how teams feel about their team and feel about identity and everything. Even free agency, the Browns, you know, overpaid for Dalvin Tomlinson. They went and got Juan Thornhill. Oboe Okonkwo, who I'm a fan of, as I think he'll be a great secondary pass rusher for them. But you can see, you know, especially with Jim Schwartz coming in, and he will play a lot of two high defenses, a lot of quarters, that they needed to rebuild the spine of the defense. And that became a joke. It's a meme about how bad their run defense was last year. And so I think, if anything, another inside linebacker. It's really a weak off-ball linebacker class, but you can maybe add depth or sign somebody for some mercenary that might be still out there. I think that would be something, maybe more guys along the defensive front, maybe another pass rusher, another guy in the interior. That's really what I got right now.
I have nothing on offense.
I like it. I mean,
Deshaun Watson, really, you know, who did not play well at the end of last season, could not be in a better situation.
Nope.
I think so.
Nope.
Nothing there. I wrote the same thing. Defensive line and linebacker is what I wrote. So, I'm excited to see what Jim Schwartz does with this defense, because it's going to be different. And I think Oboe is like the perfect, you know, wide nine edge rusher for his team. But I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind if he added more there. Okay. Now we're moving to a few teams that actually have needs.
We're moving off the letter B.
One more B, Buccaneers.
One more B. Oh, Bucks. Yeah. Dang it.
Bucks are odd. Because there's a few positions where I was like, sorry to quickly recap. They brought back Jamel Dean, which was on a very reasonable contract. They brought back Anthony Nelson, Lavonte David on a one-year deal. Aaron Stinney, they signed Greg Gaines, nice signing. Chase Edmonds, Baker Mayfield, a quarterback, I should mention that.
Yes.
Some meaningful losses, though. Donovan Smith, actually, I don't even know. Did he sign anywhere? Is he still out there? I think he's still out there.
He's still out there.
Okay, so he might come back.
He's still out there.
Raheem Nunez Roaches, sneaky underrated loss.
Yeah.
Shaq Mason. Yes. So number one is quarterback, but I don't know if they'll actually, you know, try to get a quarterback. Yeah. And then I wrote offensive line, offensive, you know, like see what happens. Even if they bring back Donovan Smith, they should still try to get a new left tackle. Tight end. Right now, I think their TE1 is Kate Otten.
Yeah, well, UW.
And then I wrote, so there's a lot of positions, actually. I wrote safety. They did lose. So Mike Edwards is gone.
Yep. Lost Whitehead last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I wrote linebacker ? Because this feels like Lavonte David, maybe 1 year deal. This might be but that's a little bit later. Did you have anything else?
Nothing else. That's a lie. I did have edge player with Shaq Barrett, a little older.
That's the thing with this roster. There's like guys, but they're getting older at a few positions.
Yeah, like you said, even at linebacker, at first you wouldn't think that's a need, but then it's like, well, Lavonte Davis is going to be 33 this year, maybe 34, and then Devin White is going into his last year, I think, on his rookie contract. Yeah. So I think, and So yeah, I had offense tackle opposite of Wirfs, and yeah, edge player is the big ones. Yeah, QB of the future. So I'm right there with you with everyone that you listed off. They're a weird team, man. The tight end, I really like Kate Otten as a blocker, but it's like Kate Otten shouldn't be getting more than 25 or 30 targets a season. So tight end's actually a pretty good need to throw in there.
There was a rep last year where Brady was throwing to Coke Kift.
Oh, that I, 40, oh, 41?
When it happened, I was like, yeah, he's retiring. This is over. He's not doing this again. Okay. No disrespect to Coke.
No. Okay. That's really funny. Yeah. He's a tight end wearing 41. You know what you're getting.
Okay. I got a fun one for you. The Arizona Cardinals. I guess I should start by saying, how many Cardinals on defense can you name? We're not going to really do that, but at home you should try, because boy, it's difficult. I'm not going to even do the gate losses. What positions, priorities? Have at it.
I said everything. Best player available everywhere. Like every draft pick, they should be looking at finding every single they can, because we said like the singles are kind of like a sneaky thing for these other teams. A single for the Cardinals would be amazing. They're like, you know, they just getting on base would be amazing for this roster. This roster is not good. Yeah. It's very, 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 very not good. So anybody, everything they need.
Yeah, so for me it was just kind of like, what do you prioritize? Well,
that's why they pay me for that's why they pay me the big bucks right there. That's
this is their full on rebuild.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's timed well with Kyler's injury in some ways. So, mm-hmm. For me, it was kind of just more like prioritizing our defensive line. That to me is the number that is the most barren part of this roster, is the defensive line, edge, you know, interior, both. They're that they're in the Will Anderson spot at three, unless someone. Honestly, though, they should really consider trading down. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Seahawks fan and I want them to, but this roster is so barren. If there's a team, Raiders, whatever, or even like a later on team, team picking later in the draft, who's willing to go up to three, boy, could they use those draft picks.
Yes. And that's what usually I'm all about, getting the blue chip players, which I think Will Anderson is. But this situation with this roster, they need picks. They need as many day two picks and future picks. Yeah, this is a full. It's nice having a needle moving quarterback like Kyler when he's on the field, but you still need, you know, 21 other starters to drop out there too. Yeah. And that's where you can rebuild it through the draft a little bit. I know, poor like Buda Baker on defense, man. And Isaiah Simmons had like his best season last year, but it's like Buda man.
So funny at the Pro Bowl, because I was like, so how are things? And he was like, well, it's just me here.
Yes. We see it too, Buddha. We see it too, man. That's what it seems like on that team.
He really loves CSI. I think we had a long conversation. I like to stay home
in
and
2023.
I was like, really? Okay. Corner would be my second priority, by the way, I decided.
Yeah.
Okay. Chargers. Okay, so we're getting back into... So I'll go first here. Well, Chargers, you know, pretty interesting offseason. And, you know, they add Eric Kendricks to play linebacker. They re-sign Trey Pipkins, Morgan Fox.
I like the Kendricks signing, by the way.
Me too.
I didn't think he had as much as drop.
I think he'll bounce back
he'll be fine. Yeah. He's an above average starter. Like, he's not like great, but better than what they had.
This year, Adderley retired, which is surprising.
Yep.
And then they kept Kenyon Williams, which was interesting and a little bit surprising. Austin Eckler is still a question mark. And that kind of influences my thinking here. So I wrote interior defensive line still, ever, always.
Ever. Yes.
Well, I wrote wide receiver, you know, with a priority on speed, but they also probably have to think about replacing Allen. Running back, question mark. And then edge, I feel like, again, I'm not really sure, you know, how long they anticipate Khalil Mack being on this team, but even still, I think edge depth would be good.
Yeah, edge depth. Yeah, I mean, even like last year, I think it was like Bosa and Mack were like their only edge players, or I think they maybe had one other guy. But no, speed at receiver. I said speed at receiver, pretty please. It feels like how they view their receivers and how they view their edge players is probably the same. Those are where our highest paid guys are. but we still have to think of a plan for, you know, if they're injured or post life after them. And I like Joshua Palmer, but he's just another big body, slower, you know, he ran like a 4.6 and that's how he plays. He's like a glorified tight end. I really like him. Speaking of tight end, I do think tight end's a big need for him. I think they had the worst blocking tight ends in the country last year. This is a team, you know, and Gerald Everett's a fine auxiliary pass catcher, but you're not asking him to be the point of attack blocker. You know, another glorified, he's him and Joshua Palmer are inverse of each other. He's a glorified receiver and Joshua Palmer's a glorified tight end. But I think this is a team that should be targeting Darnell Washington. And I would love it so much. Yeah. I think that's underneath pass catcher with upside, you know, as a seam stretcher, but also just will set the edge for them and really help out the run game.
The tight end out of Georgia.
Tight end out of Georgia. That if you see him, you'll remember the name Darnell Washington. Also a Vegas guy. He's from Las Vegas.
Enormous.
There's like three enormous. Yeah. Yes. He is one of a kind or a rare type. And I also, even with running back, even with Eckler there, running back depth, yeah, I've always thought it's been a need there. I mean, they need another guy to take the load off. They've tried with Joshua Kelly. I was not a fan of Isaiah Spiller coming out of A&M, but still kind of didn't really do anything. And I'm with you. They're another team along the spine, defensive tackle, linebacker. So it's kind of, again, like they're trying to straddle a lot right now. I think they're kind of all in this season, but they also maybe want to make sure they have some answers. Maybe it's another staff that will pick up the pieces if it doesn't go well, but there's some more needs than you would think maybe initially.
So the Chiefs they had some losses. You talked about Thornhill, Juju Smith-Schuster, Andrew Wiley, starting right tackle, Orlando Brown. I mean, really both their starting tackles, but then they go out and say Jawan Taylor to play left tackle. Frank Clark's gone. Charles Omenihu from the Niners is in. Drew Tranquil, like that signing, by the way. Mike Edwards at safety. Okay, so what do you have for the Chiefs?
Right tackle remains the big one. A receiver with size is another one that I put in there. I would target that on day two, though. Even though this is a smaller receiver class, like not how many players there are, but each player being actual smaller. I think there's some interesting bigger bodies on day two that you can maybe, you know, Cedric Tillman, A.T. Perry. Cedric Tillman's out of Tennessee. A.T. Perry's out of Wake Forest. I'm also trying to be better because I do this on our show all the time. I just say names and my mom will text me back, who's that guy you said? I was like, I have no idea. Also, another body along the defensive line. Any type of answer I would understand. When we just did it, I just did the mock draft with Deontay Lee. I had them taking Mazie Smith out of Michigan. Mazie Smith as a big plugger type. Because I just want to see that type of body with Chris Jones. And I just would like that. I just would like a bruiser, plugger, hold on to the blocks and let everybody else disrupt and keep the linebackers clean. Keep Willie Gay and Nick Bolton clean and Leo Chanel too when they're in base. So that was just kind of one that's more of a, I don't know if it's a need, but more of like what I think would be a fun cherry on top for them. I like their defense a lot. I
do
really
too.
Like,
I mean,
they nailed that draft.
Yeah, last year's draft. Really looking at it, I was like, oh man, like all these young corners are really exciting. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind another safety, but for the most part, they really fixed their secondary on the fly or like rebuilt it rather. Again, the linebacker group throwing Tranquil into the mix. I think his skill set complements the guys that they have,
and Spags is blitzing tendencies.
So along those lines, I actually have all the same positions as you, but I wouldn't mind some speed at edge. Karloftis is obviously more of that power rusher. Menahu's a nice addition, but I think like a young, fast, designated pass rusher type would be an interesting piece to throw into the mix.
I agree with that.
Okay, so for the Colts, very quiet offseason. Added Ebukam, Samson Ebukam as pass rusher. Isaiah McKenzie as wide receiver. They lose Stephon Gilmore, Brandon Fassian, and got some tough pronouncers. Bobby Okereke. I'm always not sure if I
Okereke.
Dang it!
I taught myself that one because now everyone rags on me for me butchering names.
They did bring
besides some specialists.
Bring back EJ Speed and Tyquan Lewis. So quarterback is number one.
Yeah.
How they're going to do that is an open question. But after that, I think quite a few needs. Corner looms large. Mm-hmm. Offensive line. That one is a little bit, I think it kind of depends on their plans for some of the players they have. There's been kind of speculation that they might trade some of their, that like Ryan Kelly, for example, who's their mm-hmm. center, is a name that comes up. I think they're probably going to stick with Bernard Raymond, who was a rookie last year at left tackle. Yep. But and then I think the wide receiver core could still use improving. Alec Pierce and Michael Pittman are Pittman's the one, Pierce is the two, but I think adding another wide receiver would be good. And then I guess linebacker, that would put that below the other positions.
Man, that's a weird roster.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'd QB revamp the O-line and corner. Cornerback, they're going in right now with an undrafted free agent and a 6th-round pick as their corners, which is not a lot of fun. Yeah, the O-line though is like, even Quentin Nelson had a rough year last year, and it's, you know, that's supposed to be one of their building blocks, yeah. You know, they're true aces on their team. So, but yeah, trade for Lamar and everything else will taste a lot better in Indianapolis.
Okay. I love the Commanders roster.
Weird, right?
What did you have?
My first line was, I like this roster better than I thought I would. I said, maybe a young tackle.
Sure.
And maybe a linebacker, but Barton was, I actually like Barton. I know.
He's fine.
He's okay. He's a passable linebacker. At first I thought corner, but I like St. Juice. I really do. He had flashes last year. He's all the way there.
They could use another corner.
But maybe another corner, but really that's it. And again, it's not like a glaring need, you know, and we love our guy, Jacoby Brissett. Like
quarterback is the correct answer. Like but
who they have is nice. Jacoby.
I'm going to plant my flag. I think this is a playoff team with Jacoby. I really do.
NFC's wide open. People got to keep remembering
that. I don't think they're I still have the Eagles and the Cowboys ahead of them, but this is a team that last year was competing for that spot with major deficiencies at quarterback until the very end. They have a wonderful young wide receiver group, decent offensive line. They bring in Wiley. Like you said, I do think they could add another young tackle there. Solid run game. Oh, they also signed Nick Gates. I forgot about that. They bring back Payne. The defense last year, again, like quietly finished as one of the best defenses. It was such a tire fire at first under Jack Del Rio during his first season, you know, that I think we kind of, I don't know, sight of them. And then they just got better and better. And
teams copied their game plan against the Eagles.
Yes.
Like that's, which is crazy. Like that they were the ones that changed how teams played against the Eagles. Not that anyone did great against them, but
I said this,
copied some things.
Is this a crazy, it was one of those things where I said it on TV and then the moment I was like, ooh, if this team had Lamar Jackson, I said they were a Super Bowl contender. I didn't say I would put them in a Super Bowl or anything like that. But the way I view it is that there's like, you know, maybe 10 teams or something that I'm like, this team could make it to the Super Bowl. Like I could see it. And really for me, that was just because I loved the roster so much. They're also bringing in Eric Bieniemy as their offensive coordinator. Like, I just really like this roster. I don't know. Maybe it's extreme.
But it's not a
roster. They're not going to do it.
I'm like you're saying. Yeah. No, I know. But that's what people like as things get tighter, especially late in the season, especially in the playoffs, it's just that your weaknesses become glaring and they become huge holes. Look at what the Bills last year, who looked like a superpower for the first half of the season. And then by the end of the season, your holes start getting picked at and poked at, and especially once you have all more film out there and data out there. But why I'm saying that is Washington got better, and all of a sudden you drop in Lamar there, and then the NFC, it's wide open. Like, I don't see that as a, I don't know. It's not as crazy of a take as maybe I would have thought of a day ago before I started this exercise. If you drop Lamar into this team and really think that they're a top eight-ish
team. It's a good
team.
Or at least
top four in the NFC if you drop in Lamar there. But yeah, no, they have a lot more to them than I think people have given them credit for, which is kind of weird to say about the Washington Commanders.
I was doing this. That was one of the teams that surprised me the most. One more team and then we'll take a break. Stay in the division. The C's. The Dallas Cowboys, I've praised their offseason moves, adding Gilmore, Cooks, cut Ezekiel Elliott, bring in Ronald Jones. I think And then, you know, they tagged Tony Pollard. You lose, you know, Noah Brown, Connor McGovern talked about. Oh, they brought back LV and Donovan Wilson, Dante Fowler Jr. So I wrote defensive tackle, offensive line depth. They're getting older at a couple of positions. Mm-hmm. Tight end. Actually, don't know who their tight end is.
Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot. I actually like both.
Tight
of them.
End.
yeah, but
and running back is a. I would draft a running back. I would not draft a running back in the first round.
Yeah,
but I would draft a running back at some point.
Yeah, copy and paste that running back sentiment. I drop another running back in there, but there's plenty of day two running backs. Like, there's a lot of kind of third, fourth round types in this draft that I like personally. I agree with you. Trading for Cooks and Gilmore, I thought were, I would even say, inspired moves. Even for, you know, I know they're 30 plus year old vets, but what they gave up for them and the resources they had, I liked what they did. I liked what they were doing with their defense and just bringing all those guys back. Yeah. This is a damn good defense 2 years in a row. Maybe another interior or inside linebacker, maybe at another spot. It's a bad linebacker class, off-ball linebacker class. So that's what's so hard with all these holes. I went with you. I said, wouldn't hate them adding kind of best player available on their defense just to drop in there and maybe perhaps a young receiver later in the draft just to have there as well. I've liked what they've done. I like what they've done.
All right, let's take a quick break. Come back. Your very first bet with Caesars Sportsbook. It's on Caesars. Just sign up with promo code OMAHAFULL, then place your first bet. If you win, great, keep your winnings. But if your first bet loses, you'll receive your stake back as a bonus bet.
21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino. Call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOPPED. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK 467-369. Offer not available in Massachusetts, Maryland, and Ohio.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now, get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
Okay, to be clear, we have been talking about both conferences, but the first team coming up is an AMC team. this one, it was the easiest one to me of any team. It's the Miami Dolphins. I think it's like so obvious. Offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, and tight end.
Yes, that's I went tight end, offensive line. I think I had offensive line. I just said just period. I go, they need depth, they need starters, they need everything. And I said maybe, and I know they re-signed their guys, is a running back on day three. I know they don't have a lot of draft capital, and this offense doesn't really, you know, you can take day three guys and do this, but you know, just to throw in there. But yeah, tight end though, and again, a day two tight end. this is a team that could really look at a day two tight end like a lot of other teams in this draft.
And maybe, you know, someone who fits the Mike McDaniel offense better than Gesicki did.
Yes. So, yeah. I mean, they barely even wanted to play Gesicki. That was so weird, his usage last year. But there's what's fun about this tight end class is just there's so many different flavors, and especially on day two. And that's why my actual bullet point here is I'd like them to add a tight end in the second round just to complete a super weapon on offense. Like, because I think that could be just
so sick.
Oh, I know. It's just if they got a dynamic guy there, like, I think that could be just a really, really cool offense.
But yeah, O-line. I mean, it's just, O-line. You know, even with Armstead, he's injured. Tackle depth is huge. I mean,
they need everything.
Yeah, it's just.
This offense mitigates a lot of O-line woes. That's the key of the Shanahan offense. They try to make their offense as quarterback and O-line proof as possible, but it doesn't hurt. To have talent up there.
Start running into defenses that do a better job of taking away your base concepts, as we saw last year. You want to see Tua protected long enough to get to his second option to create, you know, to So, anyways, to me, that is just so clear. All right, rounding. Oh no, we saw the Giants. The Philadelphia Eagles, very active. Lost a bunch of players on defense. Kaiser White, TJ Edwards, Marcus Epps, Javon Hargrave. Bring back their corners, which is huge. Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. So very active. Lose Miles Sanders. You bring in Rashad Penny. Terrell Edmonds at safety, notably. What positions do you have them needing?
I said young defensive linemen. I think they just...
Always.
Yeah, I know they prioritize that anyways, but I think they just, you know, yes, bringing Graham and Cox back is great, but just... Add some youth there. And I said maybe possibly an interior offensive line early in the draft. Just another one to throw in there. Again, the Eagles do this anyways. Like, so I'm not kind of, they like to build through the line. So I'm not saying anything crazy. Maybe a young corner. I know they brought back Bradbury and Slay, but just maybe another guy that they can drop in and build. So they don't maybe need a day one starter type, but it doesn't hurt. Corner is a position that fluctuates so wildly that it doesn't hurt to have depth and a guy that with upside. And there may be a running back on day two. I love the Rashad Penny flyer that they're taking. If he's not going to be healthy, I was going to say if he's healthy, but let's be honest, there's a lot of proof that he doesn't hold up. But a flyer or another person to drop in with him and Boston Scott, I think would be a lot of fun behind that offensive line.
Gainwell's still on the team, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So the only other thing I had was linebacker, depending on what they think of N'Kobe Dean, you know, this is another round where I think we'll learn a lot about what they actually think about Dean in the draft. If
they signed Nick Morrow, who's kind of like
he's fine,
average guy that I like, but we'll see him on that defense.
Okay, the Atlanta Falcons had a very, very busy and fun offseason. I just tweeted about this. I was like, wow, it's I didn't tweet this, but. When you look at the defensive depth chart and it's like, oh, competent players. It's a nice feeling because it hasn't been that way in Atlanta for quite some time. They brought back on defense. They brought back their offensive lineman, Lindstrom McGarry. They had Jonnu Smith on offense. But really, the defense, you bring back Lorenzo Carter, Onyemata from the Falcons, Jesse Bates, safety from Cincinnati, Kaden Ellis, who's edge from New Orleans. And there's one other. Oh, today, Calais Campbell. So again, just competent veterans across the board. Very nice. So I wrote, you're not going to like this one, quarterback question mark. They do seem committed to your boy Desmond Ridder. But anyways, put a pin in that. I wrote edge in all caps. They did draft Arnold Ebukadi last year. But that's the missing piece for this defense is a dude at edge rusher. I also, I think... right now their starting corners are A.J. Terrell, Casey Hayward, D. Alford could get a little bit younger. Wide receiver was the other one that I was surprised because, they do have Drake London. They signed, Matt Collins, which is one of those kind of like sneaky underrated signings.
I liked it.
Still could use another wide receiver in this offense.
And they might lose Zacchaeus. And I receiver. And I said, It's a kind of need because also how they use Kyle Pitts is kind of all over guy. And
that's a good point. And then bringing in Jonnu Smith will free Kyle Pitts. Wide receiver.
They're such a unique offense that it's kind of hard to like say like they
that's a good point.
Like that position they need. I said edge rusher with a bullet, and it's been the case for the Falcons since Obama was in office. So it's like that I mean, first term that they've needed
who
one
is and their last.
Like, well, they had the 1 year of Vic Beasley, and then they had, what's his name? Abraham. Jonathan Abraham. Move. Legit been trying to fill that hole since 2012. So that's, that's where they've been at. I actually wouldn't hate him to see that maybe at a center, as probably maybe a day two guy. The guy, last year, they got good play out, Drew Dahlman.
Dahlman from Stanford.
But he had some deficiencies where it's like maybe they would upgrade that position, but he's fine. Like he's a passable center and they use him really well because he's a good athlete. So they get him out in space. And corner to pair with AJ Terrell. Because I think we both do are big fans of Terrell and be nice to plop another talented player there. But they have options. I'm bullish on the Falcons overall. So just very bullish on them.
Who do you have for the Niners? Or what do you have?
Right for the Niners. Oh my God. So Niners. So I have to find. Oh, here we go.
Darnold, right tackle. Javon Hargrave, Cleveland Farrell, Mike McGlinchey walks out. They lose a lot of players, actually. McGlinchey, Mosley, Jimmy Ward, Son Ridgeway, Ebukam, Menahu, Al Shair, Garoppolo. Right tackle. Yes, right tackle. Clearly.
And then,
I don't know who's playing. Is Colton McKivitz playing right tackle right now?
Yes. That's who they have listed. They signed Isaiah Oliver from the Falcons, who I really like as a slot guy. My number one need for them was health luck. It was just be healthy. But I said, God, this roster's fun. I always look at this defense. I'm like, oh my God, I love this defense so much and what they do. So just maintain defensive play. But I would say right tackle if I had to like find one spot for them to find an upgrade at and just. You know, but they make the most out of what they have at offensive line. Also, you know, helps to have Trent Williams shore down one of the sides, but just, you know, maybe inject a little bit more talent. Their guard play, like Spencer Burford was a revelation last year.
Surprisingly great. Yeah. Which is such an issue for them the previous 2 years, interior offensive line.
I know he did really well. So, you know, maybe a tackle.
Yeah. I wrote right tackle and corner. Even with Oliver, like I think that's, you know, you're losing a lot of talent there.
Yeah. I do like Lenore. I do like him, but no, I get it though. Like, it's not like he's great. So it's obviously, you can always inject it.
Okay. So the Giants, Waller can't, Paris Campbell is going to wear zero, which I don't think you pull off zero.
Are you like only, cause I didn't know that you had the same take with the Vita Vea thing.
Well, that's the dream is, if you guys missed it, the NFL said players can now wear zero except for big dudes. Offensive lineman and defensive lineman, which totally eliminates the fun because the ideal zero is a nose tackle. It's a 350-pound nose tackle just barreling through the A-gap. Like look, I'm very biased because when Calvin Ridley announced he was wearing zero, I was like, that is sick.
Kind of cool. Kind of cool.
Coming back, you know, the NFL kept you out for a year. So here I am wearing zero because you treated me like one, you know. But Paris
zero
Campbell.
To give.
you got to be like a bad boy. I think our mutual Twitter friend, Victoria, I don't know what her handle is these days. She's always making it up. Incredible handles. Had a good take about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson should wear zero. I was like, yes, that's sick too.
Because he matches that. Like when Gilbert Arenas wore zero, it made sense in basketball because it's Russell Westbrook wearing zero. It's like, that makes sense because it's
gotta,
like that's
you
their
gotta
attitude.
Have an edge. You got to either gigantic to wear zero or you got to have an edge to wear zero.
Totally
those are the
agree.
Rules.
So I guess we do agree on this take big time.
So apologies to Paris Campbell. I think you're a useful wide receiver. They brought back, obviously, Barkley Jones, Nunez Rochas, who we mentioned, Okereke.
I'm glad you like the Nunez Rochas because I've been pounding the table about him. I wanted him to go to the Browns. I thought that would have been much, much better signing than Tomlinson.
Oh, God, they could have used him. When Vea was hurt, he was awesome.
Just as good. I know. Yeah. Not just as good, but he was good.
But very good. It was amazing. I think this is one that the needs are pretty clear. Interior offensive line, cornerback, and and wide receiver are the three things. And then I wrote safety. You know, they lost Julian Love. Mm-hmm. Something I would address,
like,
as well.
Pretty easy. Like, let him go. I don't know. That one was weird to me. I thought they would bring him back. I know. I love it for the Seahawks. I'm a big, big Julian Love fan. So I said a receiver with size. They have a lot of slot kind of guys. Hodgins was kind of a revelation for them. I guess I'm saying revelation. I'm going to synonym. Let me look up some other words in the meantime. But a receiver with size would be great, even with Hodgins playing. I think Mike Kafka did a good job of unlocking what he had, just give him more talent there. Cornerbacks, they love man coverage. Wink Martindale loves his man coverage. I would say maybe even drop in another linebacker day two. And again, I'll say that have the same exact caveat I've had the last three times I've said this. It's not a good linebacker class, so maybe that's not fair to say that as a need that they could fill.
Who do you have for the Jags?
Who do I can tell before I even look at it, I do have a corner for them.
Yeah. So the Jags, Shaquille Griffin's out the door. Juwan Taylor's gone. Chris Manhertz is gone. Arden Key, sneaky big loss for them. He was really impactful last year. Tagged Evan Ingram. They bring back. They really were really quiet outside of Calvin Ridley
They blew their load the last year
to play. Yeah, right. Exactly. Corner. That was my number one need as well. Corner. Yeah.
Tyson Campbell had a great year, but another guy to drop in with him. O line depth, maybe. Day two guys that just continue to refill. I'm always a big fan that even if you have a solid line, and I think the best lines do this, is just always add a guy. Just continue. This is what Sean Payton did for years with the Saints. This is what the Eagles do. Just always keep drafting guys over and over and over, especially when you have a quarterback like that. I think maybe this is a team that would be really, really – it would behoove them to add a tight end on day two, even round one. Losing Manhertz is – I know he only played probably about 20% of their snaps, but he unlocked a lot of their stuff in their run game and their play action game. He was big – we've mentioned Chris Manhertz four times on this podcast. That's got to be a record. But someone that can block, I wouldn't hate if they targeted Washington. But even on day two, Tucker Kraft from South Dakota State, Luke Schoonemaker from Michigan, Luke Musgrave from Oregon State, any of these guys at pick 56, like someone with upside at that tight end position, I think would really help their pass catchers as a whole and just really help out their offense. Because, you know, Evan Ingram, as well as he played last year, does have some deficiencies as a blocker, just naturally.
Yeah, and we know how much Doug Peterson loves 12 personnel. So
he loves them.
I have to think that'll be high on his
They also signed Dearness Johnson, which I really liked. From the Browns.
That is a good signing, yeah.
I really like that one. I thought that was nice guy to drop in there.
Yeah. I wanted to write linebacker, but they have linebackers, but I was like, I really just don't like the linebacker.
They drafted like three and signed another one.
Offensive tackle, I think, the assumption is Walker Little will play right tackle with Juwan Taylor gone, but I still think it's good to have depth there.
Absolutely.
Okay, the New York Jets, again, a lot in the air. Quarterback is the obvious need. Yeah. It is a glaring need because if this Aaron Rodgers deal doesn't happen, you're looking at the combination of right now it's Zach Wilson and Chris Streveler is your quarterback group. The trade's going to happen, so whatever. Otherwise, roster is in very good shape.
Yeah.
I wrote in all caps offensive tackle. I don't know. Some Jets fans got mad at me for saying this on the Bill Simmons podcast when I said I didn't know who's playing offensive tackle. Nate, you follow the NFL very closely. Is that an unreasonable thing to say about this?
No, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head who the right tackle is at all. That's not weird at all.
We know.
Does Mekhi Becton count?
Right. So the question is, what is the status of Mekhi Becton? Where is he playing? Dwayne Brown is a veteran. He played left tackle last year. The interior is great, but
I do like their interior. Yeah.
I guess Max Mitchell is the
That's the guy.
But like,
they got mad at you about that? That's funny.
I meant like it's a question.
Yeah.
It's clearly the thing that needs to be addressed on this otherwise very, very good roster.
I love their defensive roster. It's
great.
It's really fun. and they have fun weapons. At Lazard, I know he's there because of, the potential trade.
He fits in well with
even though it's funny because everyone with the Jets, when they signed Corey Davis, they've been mad at Corey Davis for the last few years, even though Lazard is going to fill the exact same role for the exact same amount of money, and they're not going to be mad at him for some reason. But if they do manage to keep that number 13 pick, who knows if they do, but I mean, you know, there's every day it seems to be changing. Also a team that's in great position to take a tackle.
That would be a great spot to take a right tackle.
They're perfect.
And if the Tennessee kid is there. Whew.
Yes. If Wright's there, Broderick Jones from Georgia, they Anton Harrison from Oklahoma, that might be a little early for him, but guys like that. But also their other big, big team need is they need everyone to shut up and stop talking to the media. And I think that would really, really, really help this team out to really stop talking and stop leaking stuff. And I think that would really help this team out more than anything.
I think they'll keep 13 and... Yeah,
I think by the end of the day, they would.
I threw in safety. You know, they signed Chuck Clark, but I felt like that was a position that they could get younger at and get on the same timeline as the rest of their secondary a little bit. Okay, the Lions are a team. They're interesting because I think they're really good. I'm like very high in the Lions, but I actually came away with more positions than I expected. What did you have for the Detroit Lions?
Defensive front, I just said. I think just add juice anywhere. D tackle, edge, wherever. Just add more juice to that defensive front. I also think they could pull the string. Another team that could look at a tight end on day two. They need a tight end. And we're even their second pick in the first round. You know, if Michael Mayer is there, I mean, but I think Lions fans are going to be like, another tight end. But it's like, yes, you do need one. Don't count them out on maybe going after another young corner. Even with the signings they made,
really,
with Sutton and Mosley. Yeah. You know, the Emmanuel Mosley contract's a 1 year deal off of an injury. So that feels to me more like a placeholder, like, okay, that now we don't need to take a corner in the draft, but if there's a guy there, we already talked about, there's six corners that are in the consensus as first rounders right now. That's true. It's not bad to drop a guy in. He doesn't have to start right away, or he can start if Mosley's coming back from injury still. So that's another position I think that maybe would be nice for this defense to add. But I think, you know, they have a pretty awesome offense when you look at it.
I did have wide receiver, though, which I was, you know, I mean,
one more guy.
One more. Yeah. You know, the third wide receiver right now is either Josh Reynolds or Khalif Raymond.
We're both more like four or five types. Yeah.
You know, and Jamison Williams obviously has the injury history. So I was like, it's a position that I think they could add at. You know, I like their linebacker. I like Malcolm Rodriguez, who I thought really played really well last year. They bring Alex Anzalone back, but that's another position. Mm-hmm. I just wrote front seven generally. Quarterback, but
is that a want or a need? You know, that's, but I, if there's one team, actually there's a couple teams that your team as well, that I would love to take a quarterback at number five or number six.
That's one of them. The dream Anthony Richardson spot, the Detroit Lions. You could not get better than that. The Green Bay Packers, interesting one. Definitely some needs, some things that I think are a little bit up in the air. Obviously, a lot is up in the air with the Packers. So I'll just tell you what I wrote. I wrote safety in all caps.
Yeah.
Which was a big issue for them last year. Savage got like demoted. Rudy Ford got bumped up. But that's to me huge. Tight end with Tonyan gone. I keep mocking tight ends to them. People keep saying the Packers never would draft a tight end in the first two rounds. And I said, I don't care. I'm doing what I want to do.
Bubba Franks. They drafted Bubba Franks.
Bubba Franks. I wrote wide receiver. Right now, their wide receiver three is Samori Toure, I think. So, and then edge is another thing. Although, really, the whole defensive line.
I more sound defense would be nice. I just said pass catchers, tight end, maybe another receiver to drop in. The Lazard loss is actually, you know, he was so reliable for them, but you know, maybe a different type. It's so hard and easy to know what the Packers look at receiver, because they have to weigh above 195 pounds. Yeah. Otherwise, they don't even consider them.
There's a lot of guys who don't this year.
In this draft. So you can start narrowing down who they're going to go after. Although I did hear that they made an exception last year for our guy Chris Olave, which I thought was very interesting. But they're in a great spot to take one in the first round. If they get two picks in the teens, you know, that'd be cool. Safety was the other one I had. No more Adrian Amos, which is really going to be a hard loss for them, because he did so much for that defense. Darnell Savage did get demoted, but did it get unlocked a little bit last year as a nickel?
It's a nickel, slot. That's right. Yeah,
but they still need someone behind him.
The most glaring. I said tight end and safety are the two most glaring areas of need on this roster.
Which it sounds so funny is usually that's you. That means you're in a pretty good spot as a roster.
I know.
You're saying tight end and safety, but it still kind of feels they need a little more.
Yeah. Okay, Carolina.
How many texts did we send?
I'm going to throw this out there. And we texted about this. Another roster that's in better shape than I thought. Yep. Going through, really loved what they did in free agency. Von Bell, one of my favorite signings.
Yep.
Shai Tuttle, Hayden Hurst, Miles Sanders, DJ Chark, Adam Thielen. Pretty competent. You know, I just like looking at on both sides of the football, frankly, I came away thinking this is a wonderful landing spot for a rookie quarterback. Quarterback being obviously the number one need. Yeah, it's not a secret. But behind that, you know, I thought that they could draft another wide receiver because Chark and Thielen feel more like rentals. You have Terrace Marshall and Laviska Shenault behind them. But I think with, you know, the somewhat limited draft capital they have now, I think getting another wide receiver. I wrote corner too. I love JC Horn, got Dante Jackson opposite him. But I think on an otherwise like pretty great defense, that's an area where they could use some more depth.
Yeah, I really like this roster. I think it's a great roster for a rookie QB to be dropped into and why I think they can surprise some people, even if say they take CJ Stroud number one. I think this.
Oh yeah,
they could still
good offensive line. Frank Reich.
Yes,
good receivers. Offensive line.
Yes, and can run the ball a little bit when they need to. The defense can hold them in every game. You know, it's going to be a race to 20 with that defense. So yeah. I think this is like. I don't know. I think this is a real playoff team, even whatever rookie quarterback they draft. I'm very high on the Panthers. It's kind of been one of my brewing offseason takes, but I'm with you. Yeah. Quarterback, another pass catcher on day two. I loved the Chark signing, even though, like you said, it's a rental and he has injury history. It's perfect.
Like, okay. DJ Chark is not DJ Moore. I wouldn't put him in that, you know, top 15 to 20 X receivers category that I put Moore in. But even last year, coming back from the injury, he's still ranked in the top five in yards per catch. Like he is a downfield threat. He complements, I think, Thielen in particular really nicely. Yes. And then Laviska Shenault being, you know, the kind of weirdo receiver. Like it's a good group. And I think again, this mixture of Reich, Thomas Brown from the Rams, and Josh McCown at quarterbacks coach will find a good way to use them. And then, of course, and then this is why I keep going back to this. I think this is an ascendant offensive line, which for Stroud in particular, I view as being pretty important.
I think this is a top tier offensive line and well coached. They do a lot of things well, and Reich's not going to screw that up. It's not like because they kept the same line coach. So it's not like Reich gets dropped in there and it's like, oh man, he's going to screw that whole thing up because he's a gadget guy. It's like, no, Reich is an old school NFL mind guy. Like there's no kind of wavering here, but I like this. They signed Hayden Hurst.
I should also, again, good player. Like
it's just a nice solid player. Like just a lot of their pass catching options. Like I'm not going to like say they're anything above a B, you know, but they're still a B.
But if
you have an A offensive line and a B pass catchers, that's pretty fun for a rookie quarterback with what I think is going to be an A defense.
How crazy is it to do the Panthers and not have offensive line as an area of need, by the way? Panthers fans, that in and of itself is such a W for y'all because I've been doing this podcast for a few years now. And I left tackle, left tackle, left tackle, left tackle. So that's...
Yeah. Oh, Ike Ekwonu came on last year.
Dude, down the stretch, good.
The last 10 weeks, he was so good.
Okay, team that I do think needs offensive line help, spoiler alert. The New England Patriots are my next squad. They had Riley Reiff quietly. Juju Smith-Schuster, James Robinson, Mike Gesicki for like nothing. They bring back two corners, Jonathan Jones and Jalen Mills, Jabril Peppers, lose Jacoby Myers and Jonnu Smith. What do you have for the Pats?
I have tackle and corner as my top two. And I said speed at receiver at first, but then I remember Tyquan Thornton. Yeah, that's kind of their field stretcher in theory. And I like Thornton, even though he's like as tall as my mic stand. Like, you know, I don't even have a mic stand, so that joke doesn't even work. But no one's watching me, so I can say that. But the I would say tackle. I really like the guards. I think Cole Strange, you know, he was up and down, but he still had some nice stretches where I'm like, oh, he'll figure it out. He'll be fine. Trent Brown's getting older. And then, yeah, Reeves getting older. And that's kind of just feels, so tackle. And they're in a good spot to take one in the first round. And then corner, I said, because of, I think bringing back Jonathan Jones was huge for them, for both parties involved. I think they need size at the position. I think they sometimes would have issues with bigger receivers, and that's why last year they went to a lot more too high zone, which I thought one of the underrated things. Patriots defense was damn good last year.
Yeah.
One of the understated things was they did it with a little different flavors than Belichick usually does. And I'll just say Belichick's, you know, Steve or Doug. Bill.
And
Mayo, yes.
Might be the next head coach.
Next guy. I mean, so defense that'd be another one.
Super amorphous, well-coached as ever. I did add on that side of the ball, edge depth, I think, you know, Judon getting up in the years a little bit. I like their defensive tackles a lot better than, I like Uche, you know, but I think still, you know, they've made such a concerted effort to get younger and faster over the last 2 years. I think just continuing that. But I'm not worried about the Patriots defense.
I said this kind of as like I would say it's a hot take, but a lukewarm take is that this is the fastest last year's defense. Patriots defense is the fastest Belichick defense I've ever seen. It still has some plugging elements to it, but that was the fastest, most kind of like aggressive. I think the best mauling defense version I've ever seen them have, at least in my memory.
Safeties and linebackers just firing, you know, it was a really fun unit to watch.
They've had body types like Kyle Duggar before, but then Kyle Duggar runs like a 4.4 flat and like, he just does better. The Duggar not second. I made him second team all pro. It was my team. Cool. I voted him on there.
Okay. A roster that still has a lot of needs, but has made some fixes. The Las Vegas Raiders. Mm. Okay. Very busy. Garoppolo comes in. They signed Marcus Epps. I like there's a lot of singles actually. Marcus Epps, Jacoby Myers, Duke Shelley. Like I like all those signings. Mm-hmm. You know, they bring in Austin.
Epps was a good one.
Epps is good. But those other players, like they're good players. You know, mm-hmm. They lose Waller.
Austin Hooper. Right?
Yeah. So Austin Hooper. I had tight end, then I remember that they signed Austin Hooper. I still have. I did tight end. But yeah. there's bigger, much bigger needs. Obviously, quarterback's number one need. And then behind that, I just wrote offensive line and corner. You know, this offensive line, you know, especially if they're going to draft a young quarterback, I think that this remains a work in progress. And then the cornerback room, you know, like I said, I did like the Duke Shelley signing, and you got Nate Hobbs at nickel and Mick Robertson. It's continues to be a defensive tackle as well.
Yeah. All the same. Yep. Quarterback of the future, offensive line in general. I just said anyone, you know, maybe not left tackle, of course. And then, you know, corner and interior defensive line, inside linebackers, all the same. I would say that, you know, because Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator, likes to be more cover two-ish, that they maybe not need that dude at corner. Like they don't need to invest a ton of capital into that, but they still need warm bodies there to inject talent there. It's funny. I had tight end listed actually number one, and I was like, oh yeah, they signed Austin Hooper. Oh yeah, I actually kind of like that. So I took it off completely. Yeah. I know Austin Hooper is like, he's like Mr. Above average at tight end. He does everything kind of well, checks a lot of boxes, but like, I don't know. No one, it's because he signed that big deal in Cleveland and kind of didn't live up to it.
I think it's like every tight end right now, though, Nate. Like,
I know
all the tight ends people are treating like they're terrible. So
I don't get it. You need these guys.
I'm smiling because I gave you the Cardinals, and now I'm going to give you the Rams, who are next.
Thanks. Let me scroll up to Rams because I know my answer before I even say anything is everything.
Which roster is in worse shape, the Cardinals or the Rams?
Cardinals right now, but the Rams pretty soon. I don't know. I actually like the offensive line, which I thought was gonna be terrible. Was like, okay, it's a C+.
Well, they're getting the offensive line is getting a bunch of guys back. So they were extremely injured last year. You know, guys before the season. Their second round draft pick, Logan Bruss, Joe Noteboom, who's left tackle, who's a good left tackle when he's healthy, goes out immediately. You know, like so, like. Then the Rams were so injured, but you know, they get those guys back, but otherwise
I have edge rusher, corner, edge, wide receiver. Somehow they, even though they invested in it, it seems like every year, they need a specialist. They don't have a kicker, punter, or long snapper on their roster, I don't believe.
Really?
I could be wrong, but I from my memory, I don't think they have a single specialist on their roster right now. Oh. My number one bullet point was everything. They need a youth injection, and they need a lot.
I wrote just defense, because the whole defense at every level. And they did. It is a lot of guys they drafted, and I think a lot of this will just depend on their internal evaluation of those young corners, safeties, linebackers, defensive linemen. Literally every guy who played in the preseason like played last year.
You have them covered, right?
Thomas, do they like Michael White from Brown? Yeah. Do they like Darian Kendrick, Kobe Duran, you know, Rob Rochelle? So it just, you can make a case that every position going into this draft, but to me, defense over offense is, because I could see if, you know, with Stafford back and the offensive line somewhat more healthy and cut back, you can stitch together a competent offense out of that. But this defense just needs talent. Okay, so, we're in the home stretch. A few more teams. I know this is really long. Always.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It's literally 32 teams. Always long. The Baltimore Ravens. I'll go first. Very quiet off season. I mean, not actually. I mean, quiet. But they didn't do a lot.
Kinda.
They bring in like Nelson Aguilar. They re-sign Justice Hill. You lose.
Signed Todd Monken. That's fun.
You lost some guys. Clayus Campbell, Ben Powers, guard. Yep. Josh Oliver got like
Trinity
the bag.
Chuck Clark.
I wrote corner, wide receiver, edge. Corner. I think Marcus Peters remains unsigned, weirdly. Yeah. So I kind of think that means he'll likely come back. I don't know. But regardless, corner, wide receiver. Aguilar's not going to cut it, y'all. and then edge, you know, they've got Owe. Ojabo's going to be finally will be healthy, but they still could use some juice at edge.
Yeah. My number one need was get Lamar back in the building. Number two.
Also that.
Size at the receiver. Third round targets. Same guys I brought up before. A.T. Perry, Cedric Tillman, Jonathan Mingo from Ole Miss, Puka Nakau from BYU, maybe as a day three guy. But size at receiver, which is, I've wanted someone with size for Lamar for his entire career, basically. Corner, I agree with you. They're sitting in a great spot at pick 22, again, to maybe take one of these corners in the first round. I'd say maybe interior offensive line for depth. And edge rusher as well, as maybe just a rotational guy as well. I like their interior, what's his name from UConn? Travis Jones, interior defensive line.
And of course,
I like Madubuike.
Yeah,
big fan of his.
I'm trying to remember now who's on the defensive line.
I was just
looking at it.
I'm not going to remember it.
I don't want to get this wrong, because I was just looking at it and I had the same thought where I was like, oh, they're fine there up the middle.
Because it was my first thought.
Calais Campbell, I was like, oh, let me see who they got up front. They always do a good job with that. Yeah, it is Michael Pierce and Travis Jones and Madubuike. So, okay. Here's an interesting one. New Orleans Saints. Bring in Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Jamal Williams. Kalen Saunders. Bring back a bunch of kind of guys. James Winston, weirdly. Michael Thomas, who may or may not play. I don't know. The latest is still as vague as ever.
Story of the last 3-4 years.
You lose Onyemata, Caden Ellis, Deontay Hardy, Shai Tuttle, and Marcus Davenport. Big losses.
Yeah. All of them.
What do you got?
Yeah, literally and figuratively. Those names is what I think they need to fill. Interior defensive line is, I think, first and foremost. I know they kind of dropped in a couple guys to maybe fill up, but they need a guy maybe with some pedigree, like a true kind of needle mover there. Maybe one more receiver. So hard to rely on Michael Thomas. I originally said tight end. I do like Juwan Johnson, but maybe
I wrote tight
another
end.
Team. Another team that looks at a day two tight end. They're another one, but I would say, maybe another pass catcher. As much as I love Olave, and hopefully Michael Thomas plays, but it's like you obviously can't rely on it.
Yeah, I mean, they lost their, Hardy and Callaway as their depth.
Yeah.
So I also wrote edge. Marcus Davenport's gone. You got Peyton Turner, who drafted last year. But Cam Jordan, getting up in the years and some question marks about that. Okay. So I'm high on the Seahawks, who I have next.
Yes.
But I do also think they have a lot of needs at the same time. Not like a lot. I think it's a good roster. I think that they're a playoff team, part because I don't know if you guys heard us talk about the Rams and the Cardinals, but
and the whole NFC.
Yeah. I'll do this one. So, we like their offseason, I think. You know, Draymond Jones, defensive interior pass rush, Julian Love.
Yep.
Bringing Devin Bush and Bobby Wagner at linebacker. I think teams are telling us that they do not love this linebacker draft, by the way. You lose Rashad Penny and Travis Homer, so two running backs. Quentin Jefferson, Cody Barton, Gabe Jackson. So number one with a bullet is edge. It is the most glaring need on this roster. I think Uchenna Nwosu is a good edge rusher, but you don't want him to be the best edge rusher on your team. Daryl Taylor, Alton Robinson, Boye Mafe after him. Beyond that, nose tackle now. Puna Ford remains unsigned. Maybe he'll come back. But I do think that they need some beef inside. I also think interior offensive line. We love the young tackles. Right now, Evan Brown is slated to play center, who was like kind of a rotational guy in Detroit. And then I wrote wide receiver. Because wide receiver three right now is Derek Young or D'Eskridge. Yeah. That's a position that I think the Seahawks absolutely should draft.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'll have a better beat on this than I do. Is it the Mariners season yet? And I could talk about there, but there, guys. But I have front seven players. I said just pass rushers, namely. I always feel like nose tackle, and this is why I've kind of knocked the Tomlinson signing a little bit for the Browns, is kind of my closers in baseball. You can find competent guys fairly cheap or without a lot of capital in it. Yes, there's great ones that you do want to invest in, but that's kind of how I view it. So I feel like they can find that type of beef in the middle. But I agree, a third receiver, power slot. Like they, of any team that, and when I say a power slot, it's a bigger blocking slot type of receiver. And I think that would be one thing to really unlock this offense, which I am very, very high on. I agree with you. This is one of the teams I'm super high on is the Seahawks this year. I think their offense is going to be a top six, top eight unit. And without squinting that hard at that, like, I don't think that's too outlandish to say. And also you have you said they have more needs and more holes, but they have means to fill them. Having a lot of draft capital helps. But the interior offensive line was the other one that I had. But those were the three big three that I had pass rushers, power slot, and interior line.
I wouldn't mind them taking a running back later in the draft, too, because they just did lose some depth there.
And Walker's play style will always be he'll get banged up because he's just he's a little ball of chaos as a runner.
So the Pittsburgh Steelers, they bring in two guards, Nate Herbig and Isaac Seumalo. Patrick Peterson at corner, Cole Holcomb at linebacker, lose Cam Sutton, William Jackson III, who I forgot was on their team last year, Miles Jack, Robert Spillane. Oh, they re-signed Ogunjobi and Devonta Kizzy. Yep. What do you have for this team?
Cornerback, badly, I think, actually. Losing Sutton, but I'm kind of scared. I know they signed Patrick Peterson to kind of a vet deal, but pretty scared to see Peterson. Yeah, keeping up with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase twice a year and their long speed, that shouldn't be fun. But another team where they're picking at 17 matches really well where the corners should be going. I wouldn't mind if they just keep adding some linemen. I like those tackles. Two guards they signed. Yes, tackles especially. Yep.
Yeah.
And again, if they want to go that path, they're in a spot that they can probably address that early up or early in the draft. So those were the first two. I actually liked their defensive roster more than I thought I would.
100%. Whole roster generally, I was actually, this is another one where I was like, oh, this is a couple of obvious needs, tackle and corner. But other than that, they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. One of my offseason projects once the draft's done is their offense really came on the second half of the year, at least statistically. I have got a lot of content out of ragging Matt Canada over the last couple of years. So I actually probably need to study it and see what they're doing and how they did, you know? So that's just a personal thing is I'm going to be studying the Steelers offense in a couple months.
Okay. We got three more teams.
Okay. We're almost there.
The Houston Texans did a zillion things in free agency. Talked about them last week, but roster looks very different right now. Quarterback is the obvious number one need. Behind that, I wrote defensive line. equal parts edge and defensive tackle, I guess a slight priority on edge, and then wide receiver. Those are, the to me, the three most glaring needs and the biggest needs.
And possibly a QB. But yeah, they I number one is I actually really liked a lot of these kind of vet signings they got. Jimmy Ward, Robert Woods, Shaq Mason Trey, Noah Brown, Dalton Schultz. Good spot to drop in a young QB. But another, I think another young receiver with juice. I also think I agree with you, defense alignment and edge players. And then I actually really like their DB room. So I really don't see
it. I was looking at that and I was like, oh, that I would not. You're actually in Nelson's decent shape now.
Bringing
some good safeties.
Ward and Petrie is a fun safety duo that they can both play the slot. And they have a really good slot player already in Tavier Thomas,
who they brought back.
So I really like their DB room. I have to pay attention to the Texans this year because they've kind of kicked the can the last couple of years, which has been nice to not have to worry about them a little bit.
It'll be really interesting to see what types of players and positions D'Amico Ryans prioritizes and sort of building out the defense, because I'm very excited to see Derek Stingley Jr. and his defense as opposed to what they did last year. And so that's going to be really fun. And I think we'll learn a lot about his vision for the team and their defense. And, you know, notably, by the way, neither of us said offensive line. Like, it's okay. Like, you know, let's say it's Bryce Young who comes in. I do think they were a talented wide receiver, but like, this is not Field and I talked about this. It's not David Carr. You know, this is, it's a passable unit with some good players. So,
yeah, I mean, all pro left tackle. And then, you know, Shaq Mason getting in there and Kenyon Green had a kind of a better second half of the year. He was rough early, but came into his own. But that was why he's a rookie. But I actually think that Shaq Mason trade was a good one for them, because especially if they're going to go with a guy like Bryce Young, they kind of have to shore up the interior. So I like that more than originally I thought I would.
All right, the Tennessee Titans.
A fun one.
Interesting. Some conditional ones. They were pretty active, actually. I mean, they lost some players. Woods, David Long, Bud Dupree. Is he signed with the Steelers yet? I think I saw that being listed. DeMarcus Walker, Nate Davis. You bring in Andre Dillard, Daniel Brunskill, Arden Key, Azeez Al-Shaair, Sean Murphy Bunting.
A lot of former 49ers.
Grant Carthens, their new GM from the Niners. You go first on this one. What do you have for him?
I kind of had everything. I think this is a team that just goes best player as much as they can, but I really like them to get an offensive lineman early in the draft. I see Titans fans and kind of going like, okay, we're getting our next quarterback of the future. And I'm like, you don't want to drop a quarterback 100%. Into this situation.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I think even though they still have Tannehill, but it's, you know, right out the year, see what happens. Kind of, we're not tanking, wink, wink, kind of thing. And, oh, maybe we give Malik Willis a chance in the second half of the year. It's like, oh, look, we went 0-8. And it's like, wow, look, we have the top two pick. Oh, Caleb Williams and Drake May are available. Wow, look at that. So, yeah, I said offensive line, though, is kind of like what I would prioritize, at least to start with.
Yeah, offensive line, edge, Harold Landry will come back from injury this year, but I think, you know, that's something opposite him. And then wide receiver, you know, Treylon Burks. I thought flashed a bit last year. He was their rookie wide receiver. But behind him, it's like Westbrook, Akine, Kyle Phillips, you know. Do love Chig Nkwankwo, who's their tight end. So that's not something. Yeah, he really. Yeah, this is a team that I could not agree more about their timeline. And they got some fun young corners, you know. I like the Al-Shaair signing, so.
Yep.
There's good players on the team. They're in an odd spot because it's like, it's not like the Rams and the Cardinals. There's some good players, but I think this is a team that I believe has been pretty realistic, which they were realistic last year. I think they're going to be realistic this year and get ready for a future quarterback next year.
Yeah. All right. And like you said, they have a couple guys up front. But yeah, sorry to ruin your mojo there.
All right. We arrived at the end.
I don't have any spit left.
The Minnesota Vikings. This is an interesting one. I wrote two positions with question marks.
What were they?
Okay, I'll just spoil it. Quarterback question mark?
Yeah.
This is one of the teams where they could shock the world in the draft. I don't think they will. The way they did Kirk Cousins' contract, it feels like a team kind of like Tennessee, not like Tennessee. I think they're a better team, but they might be ready for that next step. And then I wrote running back question mark because I don't really know what's going to happen with Dalvin Cook. Beyond that, I have wide receiver, linebacker, and then I wrote secondary, corner. I mean, maybe safety. They brought in Byron Murphy Jr., but the two secondary members they drafted last year didn't play, Andrew Booth Jr. Correct. And Lewis Cien. So, you know, I wrote, maybe, you know.
I wrote, cornerback. That's why I wrote. I like the Murphy signing, but it's still, you know, he has injury history, and it kind of seemed like it's a glorified rental. And Brian Flores is their defense coordinator now, so he's going to be aggressive. He's going to run a lot of man coverage, so let's help him out a little bit. But good point with the guys they drafted last year. Of course, they need something out of him. Booth has had an injury history, but he's talented. Hopefully, they can play. Another receiver would be nice. KJ Osborne came into his own last year. I like his game. He's kind of like a gritty, do-everything type, and better as a receiver last year. But I just said general youth on this team.
Yeah.
They outplayed all expectations and their own, you know, point differential last year. But they need kind of to revamp this whole roster because it was kind of a win now roster for the last few years before that.
I think they know that too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of 1 year deals.
Exactly. Davenport, you know, I think they know that they need to get younger at certain positions and you know, it's an interesting team because they could still be pretty good, I think, but
I know. It kind of stinks sometimes when you're trying to get your quarterback of the future and you're like too good to fail, not too big to fail, but too competent to fail.
Well, Nate,
we made it.
We made it. You and I were too confident to fail today. This ran so long. I'm going to spare you the last few questions and Lenny's question as well, because Lenny is literally outside the door scratching, demanding his dinner. But this is great, guys. You should check out Nate's work at The Athletic Football Show or on your Twitter, Nate_Tice. That's it, right? Nate_Tice.
Yep. Yes.
Unverified. Yeah. Soon we'll all join you.
I know. I was ahead of the game. I cycled back. It's like style. It just went back to the 90s for being unverified.
You know, it's going to be cool to be unverified. So you were there first. Nate, buddy, thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/MinaShow, MinaShow, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MinaShow.